This is Foods Part B. Isaiah 65 shows that unclean animals are unclean in the future. So does the book of the Revelation, still calls unclean fowls as abominable. Yah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Many scriptures and in the Torah we're told not to add or take away from the word. Mark 5:13 now, about the unclean. When Yahvahosha, Messiah, sent about 2,000 herd of swine over the cliff. 5:13. And forthwith Yahvahosha gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And that was in parenthesis, the number there. So maybe in approximately 2,000. And also see Mark 6:43. And we'll go back and make a comment on that. Some might be making an issue there or something. And, okay. So we go to two chapters later. Is that two? Well, 6:43, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. So here is the Messiah who created these foods, and he doesn't waste. Yet think of all the pork chops and, you know, pork roasts and bacon and everything that could have been made out of those Jewish pigs that the Messiah chased over the, you know, what would the farmers have thought? They would have tried to, you know, they tried to run him out, didn't they? I think later on it said there in Mark 5 that the Jews were beside themselves. Well, I don't see it here in Mark, but maybe I'm just superficially looking over here. Now, one could say now the purpose of this portion of Scripture is not to prove that swine are unclean. I might grant that, but still there's the concept is there. Why would he take somebody's herd of swine and chase them over the cliff? They're unclean animals? Yeah. What were they doing in the chosen country at this time in the chosen nation with swine there? Why did they have such animals in the first place that were of that great number? Well, they were making money off of them, obviously, and, you know, enjoying. And I could say for myself that when I was very young and in a fine Roman Catholic family, that we enjoyed all of those foods. But whether it tastes good or not, you know, I mean, you could have this particular entree, and the same thing over here, it doesn't taste good, but this entree over here does. So whether it tastes good or not, or whether it's healthy for you or not, is not the issue. The issue is just to obey Yahweh that he said to do it. And everybody is saying, yes, Stefan Yah, go on, keep reading more. Revelation 18:2, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. Isaiah 66, where the broth of abominable, unclean thing is in their vessels. And this is prophecy, Isaiah 66, and also 65. Luke 10:8, and Peter's vision in Acts 10. Now, I'm not striving over this with people who disagree with us. You know, why do that? You know, they're all convinced. One who is convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't lift the trumpet to my mouth and proclaim the word of Yahweh. Okay, so, the chapter that, the reference that we made there to Mark 5 did not conclusively prove that pork were unclean. I think we would all agree with that, wouldn't we? But that the problem was, you know, that the unclean spirits had to go somewhere, so we just put them into those unclean animals, and off the cliff they ran. You know, he couldn't help it if they Poor farmer, huh? No, he wasn't. They shouldn't have had him around there in that great number. I don't know. The swine are good for cleaning up messes. They eat anything. So did Yavahusha change the nature of unclean animals, allowing ingesting of unclean animals? Did he change their nature in the New Testament to allow us to ingest these unclean animals? Why did he create them in the first place? And call them unclean in the first place? And by the way, in the apostles' time, there were no refrigerators. Or did Paul or Shaul, as they say in the Hebraic congregations, did Shaul really mean, we must not offend our neighbor? Now, this is, you know, up there in the Corinthians, Galatians, and so on. We must not offend our neighbor, but it is okay to offend Yahweh and eat literally anything that is set before us. Good try, but no. Yahweh has not contradicted his word. What about those animal offerings connected to the Sabbath and feast days in Torah? Zechariah 14 and Ezekiel show that the praise offerings, we don't call them, we use the word praise anyway instead of, or slaughter offerings instead of sacrifice, because there is a problem with the word sacra. Big deal, somebody would say, but look on the website here. It's all there. Show that praise offerings will continue in the future. Slaughter offerings in Zechariah 14 and Ezekiel. I don't have it written down there, but I think it's at least there in chapter 45 and many other places too in that book of Ezekiel. However, Yavahusha, Messiah, did away with sin offerings. Hebrews 9:9-11. I wasn't going to do a whole study on what he did away with, but we can at least go to that, because the intent of this is to talk about the clean and unclean, not about whether or not the law was for today. There's many good Protestants who say that the law is for today. It's just, of course, what they would decide which laws are and are not acceptable for today to them. But we'll all come to the same truth someday, huh? But we should try to do it now. Thank you. Hebrews 9:9, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice and offerings, both gifts and offerings that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. And those offerings, those gifts, stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Messiah being come and high priest of good things to come, he came, that was the Great Reformation back there when he died on the gnarly stake on the tree at Calvary, when he died for our sins. And so those ordinances were imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Sorry about the pop there. We have a filter that's supposed to take that out. So Mark 5:1-17 talked about the chasing the 2,000 herd of swine over the cliff, and thereby were destroyed. In Matthew 15:37, they picked up leftovers of clean food. Yeah. So there's always somebody who can go to these chapters and say, well, it that's not what it means. How about Matthew 15:18? Or did I just give you Matthew 15:37? They picked up the leftovers of clean food. But it says here, in my notes anyway, of eating things, Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So obviously the person is going to think here that what goes into the mouth doesn't matter. It's just the words that come out from the heart that defile the man. And so it's okay to eat anything and break Yahweh's law. Well, I don't agree with that. And I did believe it, though, for 25 years. Matthew 15:18, and now to verse 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So that's all he was saying. You can wash your hands, you should. You can wash them 7 times if you want. not use hot water and lava, but he says, it will not defile you if you don't do that. But it's always a good practice, especially in today's society. Sometimes they overly do that as you go around from store to store. They have these silly dispensers. Oh, don't go into that. Okay. Yavahusha Messiah said here that it does not matter if you eat unclean animals. No, he didn't say that. Nonsense. That certainly would have been contrary to his law. The Messiah's law, he gave us the law. He spoke face to face with Moses, with even Adam. And then somebody could say, well, this is an exception clause. You live by the exceptions. Well, if he did give us an exception clause, then, you know, go ahead then, but I don't advise it. I don't even advise eating meat anymore recently, but I'll tell you about that here in a moment, hopefully, if we get time. Yeah, or milk. It's a small thing to ignore Yahweh's food law. Because we are Westerners, we ingest the swine, the mouse, and any abominable animal and call ourselves by his name. Or, you know, we'll say Yavahosha even, or we'll say Jesus. But I think we are disgusting, people. We're disgusting to Yahweh the Creator. Look around what's going on in our world, our society. Not just the price of the pump, you know, and the economy and so forth. Things are getting real bad spiritually out there. Churches are going downhill. Not every one of them. No, they're not. The world's situation, the society is changing. Adultery is rampant. Divorce and remarriage. And even when they do get married, they, you know, a lot of times they run out on their mates. So things are getting worse. It's not getting worse with me. We're all getting better, right? But some of them are, most of them are out. It seems like they're out there getting worse. So it's high time to love Yahweh more, not less, to love him and repent, love our master and show him our total commitment and love. Now, even if we disagree on some of these doctrines, we could all stand to get a little closer to Yahweh and consult the owner's manual, Leviticus 11, on how to keep your spiritual engine clean. Leviticus 11, there's not time here to run through all of that, but it's quite a study. It's easy. It just lists all the animals that are clean and unclean, and sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out. You could use the King James Bible Companion. I think it costs 50 cents, and it's 500 archaic words defined. Thee means you. You have a big problem with thee and thou. And it's written by David Daniels, and you can get it from giveshare.org. For 50 cents. I hope that there's a number of other places, too, where you can get this. Oh, I see. It was originally from Chick Publications in Ontario, Canada. P.O. Box 3500, Ontario, California, excuse me. Not Canada. Ontario, California. 91761. 91761 is the zip code. So that's how to... I don't think he has all the different animals in Leviticus 11 there that, you know, that might have a different name today. But that's a neat one there. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, on to the subject, though, again. Deuteronomy 14 as well, or Devarim 14, demonstrates more of Yahweh's manufacturer's instructions. He is the manufacturer. We're just using these engines. We're driving around, you know. Hopefully... First, as the emissary Shaul did, learn what the Torah says, then learn the New Testament or newer writings. First, learn what Paul knew, and then, you know, the Torah, and then we can read the New Testament. Not in the matter of salvation. I think we should look at the New Testament and John 3:16 and John 3 and Ephesians 2 and Romans 10:9. But we assume you know all these things. We're hopefully just talking to those who are not going to be too confused here, because they already know quite a bit. For those of you who have been around the block for quite a while, that's whom we're talking to here. We're not talking to those who like to argue or have a different understanding and just can't understand why Adventists and worldwide church and Jewish people, some Jewish people, why they want to adhere to the law of Moses so strictly. be under the law, the letter of the law, and so on. Keep those bondage, you know, the feast days. Go out and have a picnic, camp for 8 days under the stars with fellow brethren. What bondage? Yeah. Anyway, that's a, yeah. We get a false impression if we just get saved and start at the end of the book, the New Testament, and then think that's all there is to it. That's all I need to know. I know it all, in fact. I know everything Paul knows. No, you don't. Well, I say, well, my father, a pastor, had me memorize the Ten Commandments. So isn't that enough there? No, go to the next chapter, Exodus 21, where he continues giving and extrapolating or explaining what each of the Ten Commandments break down to. Well, how about just love your neighbor as yourself and love Yahweh first and your neighbor? Yes, yes, that summarizes all of his law, but you can't interpret for your own what that means, or you can't say, well, the Spirit told me this, told me something different than what you preach here, Brother Stephania. I can't say that because it disagrees with the Word. Well, hopefully, anyway. Take the lexicon and concordance and prayerfully let the Spirit guide you into the faith once delivered to the chosen ones. And the experts might be a guide. The rabbis should be a guide, but they're not the final word. The issue is not about the clean and unclean. Will I die or have impaired health if I consume this? Admittedly, there is reason to be concerned. Here is the issue. Will this act offend Yahweh? Pertaining to anything. Will this act I'm about to do, you know, buying the pork hot dogs in the store, will that offend Yahweh? There's, you know, I'll wait for an impression. I'll wait for an open door. I'll wait for a fleece. I'll wait for these different signs. Well, this just coincidentally worked out. I went to this unsaved person's house, and he was serving pork, and I would have offended him if I would have eaten that pork. Oh, and so Yahweh, he said it was okay to eat it. You know, Peter's vision, and then there's the thing about what goes into the mouth and passes out through the draft, and on, you know. Well, that's one way of looking at it, isn't it? But Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the righteous one. He's created his law, not to put us in bondage, but to show us the perfect way of life. That's life. That is life, is living with Yahweh. Eating the right things. And then there's the vegetarians. Yeah. But in Isaiah 65, have you noticed this verse? Those that eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Have you looked up the word abominable? Hebrew word pigle, or 6292. I don't know how you pronounce it. You know, I'm not nobody's a scholar, but pigle or pigul means abominable things. All right, 6292, that's in it. You look that up in a Strong's or Hebrew concordance, or better yet, lexicon. Hebrew lexicon. Oh, you can get it on your computer, not only online, but you can get a little disc from the E5 group, and it's hard to get them down to get that software, but it was only $5. What a powerful tool. The Hebrew lexicon, also the Strong's Concordance, as it literally translates for you. As you go across a word, you just click on that word, and it will... the lexicon will come up and translate it for you. It's really something. Kosher links, finally, and then we'll have to end here. This little part, you stop me, okay? Because you're gonna make your player work too hard, and not work hard, but anyway, it'll be too long of a file. Kosher symbols: the O, the U with a circle around it. So there is an O. That's a koshering authority. The star K. I know stars, you know, have a symbol and all that's maybe not acceptable or something. The star K, and the K in a circle, and the scroll K, like a scroll, you know, the manuscript thing. And then the certifications by the Kosher Information Bureau. You might contact Rabbi Eldlitz, or giveshare.org. That's www.giveshare.org, and search for articles about clean animals. Kosherquest.org. And when you get to KosherQuest, the P means Passover, if that pertains to Passover. KaraiteCorner.org is another website. There's a dash, and Karaite is spelled with a K and also corner. I'm not going to run through everything here, folks, if you're looking down here. He's going to read all of these. Kosher.com and Kashrut.com, B'nai Avraham, HebrewRoots.org, Nazarene Israel, there's that word, is NazareneIsrael.net, TNTReveal.com, and then go to search, Coquinio.cl, Coquinio, that refers to a very unclean bug that they put in all of our drinks, or most of our drinks, and they are unclean. You can't kosher it. Cogeternal.org, and then there are other websites too. Just look on our website for our links that are contained in the articles, like this article about clean scriptural foods, and we'll give you some tips, some links here to go on to these authorities. Kashrut.com, kosher.com, and then there's some others here later on. There's soy links too that you can read about soy. Many animals are fed soy. You should try to eat kosher organic meats if you eat meat at all. Dr. Lorraine Day advises, don't eat any animal or dairy product. It is hazardous to your health, especially today. But, you know, why did Yahweh give us the food laws then? But, you know, I could testify that my doctor recently told me that I'm going to need a hip socket replacement. I need to go to a hip joint and get a hip socket replacement with titanium. So what's that, $50,000 or something? And a lot of pain and being laid up. Well, this person gave me a couple of tapes by Dr. Day and then a bunch of other people. And within a week, I still take some dairy products and meat, but within a week, as I was eating the beautiful juice of the carrot, 30 seconds after I juiced it, you know, within a very short time, carrot and celery, pain's gone. I don't need a $50,000 hip socket replacement. I just need to stop eating meat and drinking the milk. Repent, you pseudo-vegan. Yeah. There's a lot of websites that you could go to about the soy anyway, that it's a controversial thing. It's not unclean. No. But the point here is try to eat, if you're going to eat meat, eat kosher organic meats, properly grown, fed, butchered, bled, and processed. And they are good for you if you are a true believer. Well, I don't know if they're good for you or not anymore, because I'm starting to, you know, I had five different problems on my body in this past year, in age 60s here, and 60-something, and all the problems are going away. So I think I'm going to keep juicing those carrots and then eating it right after you do it. You know, while I'm still juicing, I start drinking that. And immediately, I change. No, I don't do that quickly. DrDay.com, she doesn't fool around. She's found the cure for cancer. She has. DrDay.com, that's DrDay.com. Sorry, Laura. DrDay.com, Dr. Lorraine Day. What's another one? Hallelujah Acres. That's haacres.com. And then there's quite a few others here on the website. I'd love to share them all with you, but folks, I've kept you long enough. This has been a wonderful time here. Go to charism.com. By the way, K-A-R-A-I-S-M.com. And began to search there. Now we're going to have some products to look out for, and also some good products to get. There's even good fats out there, so we'll talk about that here in a moment. Thank you for joining us. Hallelujah. This program was 25 minutes long, and it was all about foods. Foods that are clean, and stuff that's unclean. Shalom.